kind of a pain to carry around a whole lot of CDs, so I try and stick all of them inside one case, but that never works because then it puts too much pressure on the little door and always get cracked and split open. You have these heavy textbooks that are banging against them all day, and CDs spill out and they get scratched by all the crumbs in your bag. I love my iPod. 100 CDs and something that's, you know, that big. So much music. It makes me feel powerful.
Hey y'all! Get out of here, Tim. We're recording. Hello! I guess start that over. That's terrible. Hello! And welcome to Goldcast the Best 30 plus minute op conversation you're gonna hear all week long. I'm your host, Airfon Elijah. Also joining us today, the founder, the patriarch of Cultimac. He's also the guy who's shorted out 7 police-owned breathalyzer machines. He blows in the top, and sparks just come out the bottom. Leander Caney is here.
Hey, have fun.
Also with us, his favorite things include penning your favorite Apple news, very short jean shorts, and suntanning his areolas. Buster Heine is here.
Hey, what's up?
Just how dark are those bad boys now?
Oh, my areolas. I mean, it's winter, but I still get about quite a bit, so not as dark as I want them to be, though.
Winter in Arizona, though. What's the weather like over there right now?
It's like sunny and 68.
60 degrees. 68?
Yeah. Fabulous. Absolutely fabulous.
Oh, my gosh. What is it over there in San Francisco, Leander?
I don't know. It's not too bad. It's
40,
a bit chill.
Dreary.
Foggy.
Depressing.
No, the sun's out. It's actually like a beautiful looking day.
Nice.
It might even get up to 50 degrees.
I think it's higher than that. It's going to be about 55.
Whoa, it's like a San Francisco summer day.
Sweltering.
Yeah, right. Well, actually, it's warmer than it is in the summer. I mean, you know, The summer's when the fog rolls in and it's really freezing.
That's funny because we've had a heat streak here in Seattle, too, and it got up to 64 degrees one day. And we have days in August that aren't 64 degrees.
It's topsy-turvy, isn't it? It's just...
Oh, it's
56
here,
56.
56? It's Beijing,
actually a really nice
Beijing
day.
Suit weather. You put on that British flag Speedo and go for a swim. He laughs because I just called him out. He knows he already owns one. He's like, uh-oh, he's on to me.
Yeah.
Well, here's what we got for the show this week. Buster
is
going to tell us why the HomePod... That's about to be released. Pre-order is happening Friday, if you're listening to this. Friday, February 9th. February 9th? What the hell am I talking about? It's going on sale tomorrow, January 26th. Woo! He's going to tell us why it's poised to bomb. And Leander and I are probably going to argue a lot with him about that. But there's a part of me that somewhat agrees with you. So we can talk that out. We'll also talk about the pre-orders that are going to be happening at any moment. And I'll tell you what... The comments are about this from the people in the audiophile subreddit. There were some shocking, shocking comments talking about the technology in the HomePod and comparing it to speakers that cost, you know, as much as your average Tesla cost. So we'll review some of those. Buster's going to tell us what's new in iOS 11.3 beta, and there's actually some cool new stuff. And we'll wrap up the show with a little discussion. We're going to do some drone chat. It's been a while since we've done this. I know some of you love it. Some of you just makes your blood boil. You get so viscerally angry when we talk about drones. I don't understand it. But a heads up, we're going to be talking about the DJI Mavic Air drone that was just announced. So we'll do that at the end of the episode because Buster and I are both pretty pumped about it, and Buster's probably going to get one. Before we dive into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. I pay for Squarespace every single month. I love it. I use it. It's what I use to host the cultcloth.co e-commerce site. It works brilliantly. And if you need a website, if you want to turn your idea into a cool website, maybe promote yourself to potential employers, you could sell products and services. You could promote your physical or online business, announce an upcoming event or a special project, like if you're getting married or something. And you can do it all by yourself with a Squarespace website. You can go to squarespace.com, get signed up for a free trial, build a website, see how you like it, and you know, then you can kind of go from there. And it's easy to do because the entire experience is powered by these beautiful templates that are created by Squarespace's designers. They're very beautiful, they're easy to use, and they have the e-commerce functionality that I mentioned just built right in. If you want to activate it, it's like, boom, just add a product, and you're going to be ready to go. Built-in search engine optimization, 24/7 award-winning customer service support, which I've actually never needed because everything is so intuitive. I doubt that you'll get stuck, but if you do, they're there for you. And everything is optimized for mobile right out of the box. Create a website easily. That's the key, easily, by yourself at squarespace.com. And if your free trial is up and you're ready to continue your service, you can use offer code CULTCAST at checkout to get 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. And if you order a year of service, you get a free domain and you get an additional discount at squarespace.com. Boom! All right, let's talk about HomePod. Many of you have probably heard, HomePod pre-orders begin ahead of the Friday February 9th launch. That's why I said February 9th. I'm like, what the hell am I talking about here? They go on pre-sale tomorrow, though, January 26th. Mm. The technology, just a recap, includes a 7-tweeter array with a 4-inch subwoofer plus spatial awareness capabilities. This will allow the HomePod to read its environment, so you place it somewhere in your room, and through magic and design, it will tailor its audio output for the room, for your specific space, to make it sound its best. And in large rooms, you will eventually be able to pair it with multiple HomePods to have like stereo mode, or you will have a multi-room audio and a much larger, more fulfilling sound. But Buster, he's not impressed.
Well,
he thinks this thing's gonna suck.
No, I don't.
Am I right?
Well,
did I overstate that?
I think it's gonna suck. I think it's gonna be a great speaker that sounds fantastic, that a lot of people are gonna love. I just don't think it sounds like it's something that everybody is going to have as universal appeal as Apple wants most of its products to have.
Oh, you and I actually agree on this, I think.
Yeah.
Because I feel the exact same way. It's going to probably be an insanely great product, but it's just not going to have universal appeal.
Yeah. I just don't see people like me, and not that I'm like normal, or people like my parents or my close friends. I just don't see any people in my social circle that I would consider like your average consumer. I just don't see them hyped about that at all in any way. And so there's a lot of reasons, but so I just don't think it's going to take off super quick yet. And maybe it's just the first generation. Maybe the next one will be way better and more appealing. But it feels half baked and it's been delayed too. So I think there's a lot of questions with it that we got to see.
I think the key for me is, how does it sound? That's the big question mark. How does it sound? Because if it sounds as good as I'm hoping it does, if it sounds as good as the people in this Reddit thread were excited about and talking about, then I think I'm going to be happy, even though it doesn't have all the other smart technology stuff. I'm personally very excited for it. I will be ordering one tonight at midnight, at the stroke of Friday. I'll be on the computer trying to get one. And I'm imagining that El Caney is going to be up with me, right? Leander, you with me?
I'm with you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm with you, yeah. Well, I mean, we have a professional obligation, but I'm kind of excited. You know, if I didn't have to buy it for work to check it out, you know, I would be excited about it. I mean, I think it looks like a, you know, Apple's, like I said, I'm a big fan of the iPod Hi-Fi, which I thought was fantastic, because I never bought one at the time, because it's you know, how much was that then? $399.
Yeah, that sounds right. Well, you have one that you're still using now, right?
Yeah, but I picked it up at $10 at a yard sale, you know.
Wow. $10.
That was, you know, that's my kind of price. Like back in the day, $399 for a speaker, there's no way I would have spent that money.
Especially back then.
Yeah. Back then it was more like, you know, it was twice as much, right?
That was really expensive.
But, you know, yeah, how much is this one?
$349,
yeah. It's not cheap. And especially if you get, is it really worth getting one? I mean, you've really got to get two, haven't you?
But the stereo mode doesn't work right away.
I know, so it's going to work. So
it's going to work sometime in 2018. Who knows when that's going to be. So I'm actually happy that the stereo mode got delayed, because I was seriously thinking about buying two just from the get-go. And I was like, it's going to be $800. I really shouldn't buy two. I should just get one and see how it sounds. And I was like, no, dude, just go for it. Just go for it, dude. Just get two. Just go in there. Dive right in. And now there's really no point to get two, because you can't even do multi-room audio yet. So I'm going to get one. I'm going to be reasonable. But I'm very excited for this. I'm actually more excited than this than I thought I was going to be, because I think that Apple is going to fulfill on the promise of spectacular audio, and especially after reading this this subreddit thread. Let me get this open here. So I was reading through this subreddit thread. This is the audiophile thread. This is where all the audio nerds talk about all their favorite audio equipment. And these guys are talking about audio equipment that cost $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $50,000, $100,000, right? This is not, you know, a $2,000 stereo. This is the really ultra premium stuff. And they were comparing the tech in the HomePod to speakers that cost $85,000. Now, clearly, the HomePod is not going to sound as good as a speaker that costs that much. But their point was, is that Apple took a lot of inspiration and took technology from some of these really ultra high-end speakers, and they put them into the HomePod, and they were shocked that Apple was doing this because no one was doing anything like what Apple was doing. So let me read you some of these comments. Now, so I'm going to be upfront. Some of these comments are so in the weeds of audio, I don't even understand what they're saying, but they sound impressive nonetheless.
Right, exactly. Okay. It sounds good. So I'll read it out.
Yeah, so maybe some of you will understand what the hell I'm saying because I'm not about to, but here it goes. From one person on the audiophile subreddit, they're using some form of dynamic modeling and likely also current sensing that allows them to have a PP excursion of 20 millimeters in a 4-inch driver. This is completely unheard of in the home market. Did you understand that, anybody?
No. Okay.
I do like the term current sensing, though. That makes it sound very advanced. Another person went on to say, the practical upshot is that the 4-inch driver can go louder than larger drivers and with significantly less distortion, which I like the less
this
distortion,
goes to
don't
11,
you?
Yeah. Who wrote this? Final
it's time. Also stuff you typically find in speakers with five-figure price tags. The Beolab 90 does this, and I also suspect that the Key 3 does this. It's a quantum leap. Now he's got my attention. It's a quantum leap over what a typical passive speaker does, and you don't even really find it in high-end powered speakers. One more person goes on to say the speaker uses six integrated beamforming microphones to probe the room dimensions and alter its output so it sounds the best whenever it is placed in a room. It'll know how large the room is and where in the room it is placed. The Beolab 90 that I referenced earlier is an $85,000 a pair set of speakers. $85,000. Buster, did I sell you?
Nope.
Is it on your list now?
No? I'm not like an audiophobe or file or whatever, like you and Lewis.
It sounds like you actually might be an audiophobe. If your palate's not wet, if your beard's not damp after what I just read, there's nothing else I can do for you.
I know,
you.
And that's why I don't think it's that appealing, because to people where they're like, yeah, I want a great speaker, this sounds awesome because it's only $350. Like, I get that, but it just doesn't fit into my life as well.
I feel like I just walked into a giant walk-in freezer. I got goosebumps and my nipples went. Oh, actually, I totally skipped over some of your other points, Buster, that I think are worth mentioning. Okay. So you didn't like the HomePod. Let me rephrase that. You didn't think it was going to succeed for several reasons. And one of them was that you're not an audio guy. I get that. But you thought it was too expensive. Because I think $349 is a perfect price point. It's kind of an impulse buy for me at that level. But anything more than $350, I'm like, do I really need this?
I guess it's expensive in comparison to the competition. And I know that's also like it's really hard to say that the HomePod really competes with Amazon's Echo or the Google Home, because those are really like just Alexa and Google Assistant devices with a speaker that play music too. But I think that's what everybody else is going to view it as too, or consider that. I think you kind of have to consider it because the audio isn't going to, I don't know. I don't think it's going to like blow me away. So it's not worth it for that. And it's not worth it alone for the smart features either compared to the competition. So I think people should take that into account when they're considering buying one.
You also talked about how Siri sucks.
Siri sucks. I know people will tell me, like, people will defend Siri all the time lately and be like, she's gotten so much better. And it's like, no, like, it's still, I don't know. I don't like Siri.
It has gotten better, but that was a low bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that might be. It'll be interesting to see if this, you know, the hardware on this makes the Siri experience better, right? Because it'll have that kind of, you know, those better microphones, better listening abilities.
Well, yeah, that's true. I am looking forward to testing it now. I wonder if Siri has gotten any smarter, though, because the Amazon Echo can do things that Siri definitely can't do, and it seems to understand natural speech better than Siri does, at least in my experience. So I'm not expecting the Siri to be all that amazing. And even on Apple's website, they're promoting it as a speaker. And then there is a very small section that says it's also a smart assistant. And it's like you can create lists and you can power stuff in your home by asking Siri to turn on the lights and so on and so forth, which actually is a very cool feature. So one of the things I'm wondering is, will this replace an Apple TV or an iPad as a HomeKit hub for your house? Which I think that it will. And that's a huge bonus for me because I'm controlling all sorts of stuff in my house and in the Colt Command Center via Siri. I unlock doors, I turn on lights, that type of thing. It works really well once you have some HomeKit-enabled devices in your home. And one of the big ones, one of the big, huge monster ones for both of us, you're probably going to be stuck with Apple Music.
Yeah.
Buster.
Yeah, that's really...
Some words on that.
And yeah, we've talked about this on maybe the last show that we don't like Apple. Both of us feel like Apple Music isn't as good as Spotify. I wouldn't be able to say like, hey, play my upbeat chill playlist or play the hardest in the game playlist. And like, I make those with friends and those are like how I discover music too. And I just like Spotify so much better than Apple Music. And maybe I'll give Apple Music a try again when there's like a big update to it, but I just haven't fallen in love with it ever.
This is going to be the Achilles heel of this product. And I think there will be Spotify support. I think you'll be able to stream Spotify from your phone to the speaker.
What makes you think that?
Well, it's going to have AirPlay built in. So I think via AirPlay, you'll be able to stream. But you won't...
That was AirPlay 2. Is it AirPlay or just AirPlay 2?
AirPlay 2. AirPlay 2 is built in. Okay. So I'm confident it will work via AirPlay, but it's not going to be a Spotify Connect speaker. And we've talked about this before. Spotify Connect allows a speaker to be controlled from a plethora of different sources. So I can be on my iPhone and I can send music to the speaker. I can tell the speaker to play music from Spotify without my phone. I can send music to my speaker from my PC. It just makes the speakers way more versatile if you use Spotify and they have Spotify Connect enabled. But again, Apple's going to be pushing Apple Music with this, and I'm really not interested in Apple Music. I'm very happy with Spotify Connect. I'm on a family plan with some of my friends now, so I pay like $4 a month for it. And I'm not, yeah, it's ridiculous. Ridiculous. Well, hey, I paid $10 a month for Spotify full price for years. And then my friends were talking about signing up and they were asking me if I was interested in going on with them. And I was like, heck yeah. So now instead of paying $10 a month for one account, I actually have two accounts. They gave me two for $5 a month. So I have one that's dedicated just for my Echo. And then I have another one that I use for my iPhone and my iPad and everything like that, and that type of thing. So I'm rolling. I'm balling, Lander. You should see how I live my life. You'd be impressed.
Yeah.
I'm not on your level, but I'm working my way there.
I'll wait for you.
You're waiting for me. Save me a seat at the table with you and Johnny. So, yes, the pre-orders start tonight. If you're listening to this, you're probably listening to this on Friday. They're happening now, and then next Friday, they will become available. I know a lot of countries... The speaker is not going to be available for sale right away. I'm not sure. We should have brought up the list, but it's going to be the U.S. and Canada, and I think the U.K. to start, and there are some other ones too.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of bitching on Twitter about that.
People not happy about that. But I told anyone who wants, if you hit me up on Twitter, I will send you a picture of mine. I'll even pose in front of it if you want, giving a very enthusiastic thumbs up. All right. So that's the HomePod news. And let's talk about iOS 11.3 beta, Buster, because we got a whole gaggle full of new stuff in it, right?
So many little small goody things.
Tell me about the goodies.
Well, a couple of big ones, too.
Yeah, we got some big ones.
What would you say would be the big one?
I'd say iCloud messages.
Messages on iCloud, yeah.
Oh, really?
Everyone's been waiting for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a small feature, but I think it is big because it, yeah, it's like one of those... kind of it just works features where you don't
it's really, in the background. Yeah, exactly. It's not a marquee feature.
It,
yeah.
But it's like, oh, yeah. It just makes using an iPhone so much nicer. Because with iOS 11.3, your iMessages are synced in the cloud, so you can delete them on your iPhone, still see them on your iPad or Mac. And I think on Safari, in iCloud.com. I'm not totally sure on that. But so it's a great way to like save space, because I think my Messages app is like 2 gigabytes or maybe more now of like messages.
That's, yeah.
So,
yeah, because you never delete them.
Yeah, I never delete. Yeah, I always say
me either.
Yeah.
They just sit there in perpetuity.
Well, and it's the biggest problem when you're moving from an old phone to a new one. You know, the one thing that doesn't really sync over are your messages. right?
That's right.
And
well,
you lose it. You lose it. I mean, everything else is in the cloud. Your photos, your contacts, you know, your email. But messages isn't, and it's always a pain, you know, to bring that with you. And for most people, it's the major communication channel on their phone, right?
Yeah, and I'm always paranoid about losing messages, and so I never want to delete anything. And so just knowing that it's going to be living in the cloud makes me feel a little bit better, even though I've been having problems with the cloud lately, as some of you know, with my iCloud photo library. My issues continue; it's still not fixed, but. So I'm a little leery to have them living in the cloud, but it is an added dimension of security to know that the possibility that they're going to be, you know, out there hanging out and ready for Robert Mueller and his team to investigate anytime they please. What else do we have, Buster?
11.3. We've got, new Animoji for the iPhone X users in the house, if that's what
that's
your thing.
So how many of them are new, Leander? Like three or four?
Four, I think. Yeah, there's a lion. There's a Chinese dragon.
Yeah.
A skeleton, Day of the Dead skull, and a bear.
You know who loves Animoji? My daughter. She's constantly asking me to see the monkey. And so we have to sit there and she talks. She just talks to herself, you know, as the monkey. And then she put it on the poopy and she's like, what is this? I'm like, it's poop. And she's like, why is there poop? I'm like, I don't know. She's like, I don't want to see the poopy. Let's go back to the monkey. There's no point to that story whatsoever. except that my daughter loves Animoji, and I'm sure many kids do. So I'm looking forward to having some extra characters that she could beg to see on my phone constantly. There's the point of the story. She's constantly begging me to use my phone just so she can play with the monkey and watch her facial expressions be reenacted live with this monkey. So it's really actually very cute. I should send you guys a video.
Has anyone sent you an Animoji recently? I mean, it, you know, like as people predicted, it's kind of faded a little bit from view, hasn't it?
Yeah, and I pretty much stopped using it right away too, except the only thing I do use it for is for reactions. So if I want to react to something, it's like a live emoji that you can make a face or something and then you can send that. So In that sense, I still actually like it. But for sending actual recorded videos, I never do that anymore. It's like, it's almost like the digital heartbeat on the Apple Watch.
Yeah, right.
So it's cool. It's a cool novelty, but then it kind of wears off because
I guess it doesn't matter. I mean, the whole point I think with doing this was you know it is a throwaway thing, a feature. I think they knew that.
Yeah,
It was just to introduce people to the to the technology.
Sure, and also you know. We got to put into perspective. I'm a grown ass man. I'm not sending recorded video messages of monkeys and stuff to my other male friends that I know. Like maybe if you were 10, this would be the best feature on the phone.
You don't
and
send
your
it
friends
your,
are constantly
to your boss
using it.
When you're trying to get a sick day.
Yeah, I send it to everybody. I send it to everybody that I can think of, and then they unfriend me and block me on iMessages.
Yeah.
So it has limited utility when you're a male of a certain age, but maybe for other people, it's more useful. Anyway, what else do we have, Buster? Let's see here.
You get the switch for the better performance or battery life for the what is that when Apple was throttling
for the
CPUs.
CPU throttling.
Have you seen this switch, Leander? I didn't download the new beta because usually the first builds are always kind of buggy.
Yeah, I'm just looking now. Let me see. Where is it? Battery.
All right. Well, while Leander is searching this, let me run through the rest of these. So we also have videos have been added to Apple Music and Apple News, and some improvements have also been made to ARKit. So ARKit can now recognize horizontal surfaces like tables and chairs and place virtual objects on virtual surfaces like walls and doors. It can also more accurately map irregularly shaped surfaces like circular tables. I saw a picture of a scene that had a hamburger on a table, and I was like, what's the point of this? It's just a hamburger sitting on the table. Well, the hamburger was AR, and it looked completely lifelike. It looked like a photograph or like an Instagram of somebody's hamburger. Well, that's actually insulting. It looked way better than an Instagram of somebody's hamburger, because every time someone Instagrams a picture of food, it just looks like diarrhea sitting there on the table. It looks terrible. This actually looked appetizing and delicious. So ARKit is getting better, although at this point, not nearly as ubiquitous or useful as I would have guessed it would have been. I really haven't seen a killer app yet. Have you guys?
With ARKit? No.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there's been, like, fun games, and, like, the IKEA stuff is cool. Some of, like, the lipstick or cosmetic hair stuff I think is interesting. But overall, nothing that we're just like, oh, banger. Like, I need an iPhone that is powered by ARKit.
Well, I just went down to the Apple Park Visitor Center and checked out, you know, their AR demo of the, they have a big metal model of Apple Park.
Uh-huh.
In the visitor center down there, and you pick up an iPad, and when you point it at the model, it suddenly springs to life on screen and shows you, you know, where everything is and how the new campus works. You must have seen this, right? People have done stories on them.
No, I didn't see this.
You haven't seen it?
Huh.
It's part of the visitor center. There's a cafe, then there's a store, an Apple store, then there's a big room that has this big table that must be about 25, 30 feet long,
uh-huh,
and maybe about 20 feet wide, that has a sort of bare bones model of Apple Park. So it has a spaceship in the middle, and then it has the contours of the landscape and, you know, some of the other buildings that are there. But it's featureless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't have any, you know, landscape. It doesn't show the trees or anything like that. And they have a woman stand. They have, you know, some staff member there with a big pile of iPads that she hands out to visitors. She gives you one, and you point it at the model, and suddenly on screen it springs to life. You know.
I did see this.
It turns it into, you know, you get to see how it looks in real life.
Was there a story about this on Cult-O-Mac?
Yeah, we've done stories about it. Okay. People have done video walkthroughs and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it was really, really magical. I was really, really impressed. It was like, you know, it put a huge smile on my face when it first came up. Even though I've seen this kind of stuff before. I was really, really impressed. And I spent about, you know, half an hour down there playing with this thing, because you can look inside the buildings, you can swipe up on the roof, like at the gym or the spaceship itself, and you can see the internal layout of the buildings and what's going on inside. They have a little barn. There's a barn on the campus that they had to keep,
mm-hmm,
because it's like it was listed as a historically significant
building. Oh, how stupid. Building. You got to be kidding me. The city made them keep a barn on the campus?
Yeah, a barn. Well, I don't know.
How
it was
ridiculous.
That old historic barn?
Yeah. So you can, it's there on the model. You swipe up and there's a little cow and there's some hay bales inside. It's kind of like a fun little Easter egg. but it also has, you know, you can change the time of day. So like, I was looking at the cafeteria and I was swiping up and down the time of day. And like at 6 a.m., you know, the big glass doors in the cafeteria open.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, and there's all these animated people walking in and out, and there's animated cars and all that kind of stuff. And as you drag it down, the shadows change. You can see where, you know, as the sun moves over the landscape. And then at 9 p.m., the doors close, and you know, you can see that. It was really nice touches, you know, to show how the buildings, you know, operates in the day-to-day.
That's really cool. I'm going to have to check out that video on YouTube. I'll try to find that and post it in the show notes if I can get a link to it. And it's probably one of the most prime examples of ARKit that exists today. That shows you the potential, I think.
I think so, yeah. I was really delighted with it. I really thought it was a really great, great application.
I do think ARKit is going to be amazing. It's just going to take a couple years, I think, before they really get it going and developers figure out how to use it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of the things I'd love to see is, like, you know, say, what if, you know, instead of getting a manual, you buy a coffee machine or something like that, and instead of getting a manual, you have you know, the manual's like this overlay on an app. You know, you point the app at your new coffee maker, and then it'll show you all the features, you know, and how to use the thing with an interactive demo on the screen of your device. I mean, you can see that I'm applying the same kind of thing to all these different everyday objects.
Leander, that is a great idea. I'm serious. That's a great idea. That needs to be an app that exists. You can even, like, white label it for manufacturers who have things that people buy, like coffee machines and that type of thing.
Yeah, right. And if something goes wrong, you know, it could check. It could lead you through a checklist. You know, do you have water in it? Is it plugged in? You know, did you turn this button here?
Yeah. I like it. Boy, you need to take your index finger and tap it against your temple several times, because you're a thinker.
Well, I think that I don't think it's that original, because they're already doing this, like in, you know, with Google Glass in industrial settings.
Uh-huh.
So, like, you have Google, you know, like airplane mechanics have these kind of apps already in Google Glass.
Huh. Interesting.
I haven't actually seen a demo of one, but, you know, people have already, it already exists in other areas.
They could probably make this for, like, surgeons and stuff too. So when they open up,
well, that's how AR came about in the first place. It was actually You know, I looked into the history of it. It was originally designed for surgeons by DARPA.
Really?
While they're doing operations, yeah, to help them, you know, make them more efficient when operating on people.
So that way we could reduce the amount of schooling required for surgeons. Now you just have to be good with your hands.
Right.
Now, if
Doogie Howser, you just have an
iPad.
If
your hands don't shake, you could just sit there and it's like, oop, don't cut that. That's the heart. You're like, uh-oh, back off of that one. There's what you need to cut.
Yeah,
okay,
cut the blue one next to it.
Yeah, I like this. We're going to reduce the cost of surgery by like 80% because you don't actually need to go to medical school anymore. This is going to be game changer. Okay, well. Before we continue, I want to tell you guys about my iCloud photo library updates. And for those of you that are interested, plus I'm going to tell you how you can back up your photos in an unorthodox way. Some of you are going to like this method and some of you are going to think this is sacrilege and you're never going to listen to the show ever again after I tell you this tip. But it is a good tip. So, but before we do that, let me go ahead and say thank you to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. Pitney Bowes is the industry leader in mailing and shipping solutions. You probably heard about them. Well, no matter what you send or how often, Pitney Bowes has the solution that precisely fits your shipping needs. You can weigh, print, mail, and save with Pitney Bowes, and your business will save time and money when you print postage. You won't need to wait in line at the post office or worry about putting the correct amount of postage on your letter or package. Effective on January 21st, USPS mailing and shipping costs actually went up. But with Pitney Bowes, you'll save 3 cents per letter. These discounts are not available at the post office, and you can beat the USPS increase. Whether you're sending a letter or a package, you'll be paying less money and saving money if you're using a Pitney Bowes sending solution. Plans start at just $5 a month. And for our listeners, Pitney Bowes is offering a free trial, so you're sure to find the solution that's right for you and your business. Visit pb.com/cultcast, pb.com/cultcast to learn more, and you can try it for free with a free trial. Terms apply. See the site for details. That's pb.com/cultcast. Thanks to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. Okay, so let's talk about this iCloud photo library update briefly. So many of you know that I've been having problems with my iCloud photo library and I was working with Apple support and it was going very well. The guy was like, I'm going to fix all your problems and this is going to be great. Well, I don't know what happens, but that guy has gone dark. I've emailed him and called him several times and he will not get back to me and my problems are still not fixed. So the problem that I'm having is my iCloud photo library is in the cloud, right? And I have all these devices pulling from photos and videos. And my photos and videos are not being pulled down when I want to view them or watch videos. They're just not being pulled. I keep getting error messages on all these various devices. And now my iPhone is constantly trying to upload my entire iCloud photo library again. And so if I take a picture, it will say it needs to upload not just that one picture. It tries to upload the entire library, and it takes hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. So I'm still working through the problems with Apple. I'm going to have to call and get a whole new service person because this guy has completely abandoned me. And one of the things that you need to do if you haven't already done this is you need to back up your entire iCloud photo library. Well, if you're on a PC, or excuse me, if you're on a MacBook Pro like I am, you don't have a lot of space. My MacBook Pro has 500 gigabytes of space, and I can't download my entire library because my entire library is probably, I don't know, 700 gigabytes right now, maybe more. So I figured out a solution that works for me. I have a media PC that I use to stream Plex content to all the different devices in my house, my iPhone, and what have you. Well, it has all these hard drives built in. And what I figured out is you probably didn't know this. iCloud Photo Library is actually available on the PC as well. You have to download something from Apple and install it. And it is terrible. The entire UI is awful. The organization of the photos is terrible. It's not usable in any way, but it does back up all of your content to the PC. And I know many people have PCs, like desktop PCs, that have a lot of storage space on them. So at the very least, you'll have all of your content backed up. And that's what works for me. Or you could do this with an iMac too, if you have an iMac. But you know, a lot of iMacs only have 1 or 2 terabyte hard drives built in, and that's it. That's not very much. I mean, my PC is a tower. I mean, you could very reasonably call it a tower of power. It's decked out, extremely powerful, and it has 8 terabytes of storage in it. So I got plenty of space. Leander, I heard you smacking your lips. I thought you were about to say something.
Yeah, well, I had one of those old iMacs that had a 1 terabyte hard drive.
Yeah.
We outgrew. And actually, the drive was failing. So I opted to replace it myself with a drive I bought from Otherworld Computing.
Mm-hmm. How did that go for you?
Well, it went okay. It was actually not too bad because you can buy a whole kit. You know, you like you take the screen off; it's actually glued on there, and it was a lot easier than I anticipated. It was a lot easier to put it back together again.
Uh-huh.
The trouble is that it's a Fusion drive, and it had some special. You had to buy a special cable to ensure that the fans worked properly. I don't know why. Apple had some kind of proprietary temperature connector or something like that, a temperature sensor on the hard drive. So I, for some reason, I only found out about the cable afterwards.
And, oh, no.
So I have a problem with the fans and the thing. So I had to download some third-party software.
Because your fans aren't auto-sensing now, right?
Right. And so the thing, they're in full turbo mode. You wake up in the morning, it sounds like a jet taking off.
It's white noise. It's nice for when you're sleeping.
Well, it puts my wife, Trace, into a panic because that's where the photos live. And when she hears a machine, you know, buzzing like this, she thinks it's on the blink and we're going to lose all our photographs. Uh-huh. So yeah, I wish I'd done that, and I could still do it again. The cable's inexpensive, but it means I got to buy another kit to glue the screen back on together.
Oh, because you have to glue it back on.
Yeah, so you destroy the kit, and I could, you know, I mean, it wasn't that expensive either, and it wasn't that time consuming. I'm just too lazy to do it.
Well, can't you just leave the screen unglued? What would be the harm in that?
I guess. Well, I think it would fall off.
I mean, is
off.
It going to like fall out while you're using it?
Yeah, it would fall off, yeah.
Oh, so it's adhered to the actual body of the iMac, and without the glue it just plops out?
Right, it would just fall
How
over.
How weird. I guess it's glass. How else do they secure glass with no bezel?
Well, they used to do it with magnets. As the, you know, the previous generation, or maybe it was two generations before, it was magnets. You know, the screen was held on by magnets.
Well, that's a much more elegant solution.
Yeah, yeah. And I think getting that one off was pretty easy. And this one's not that hard. You know, like you just loosen it and then you get a spudger around and it comes off. It's actually pretty easy.
Oh,
Yeah, so I've got a 4 terabyte drive in there now. I wish I got that cable. I wish I'd known about that because the fan thing is a bit of a pain.
That's a huge annoyance.
Yes.
And plus, if you ever go to sell the machine, the guy's going to be like, what the hell? This thing sounds like an Apache. What is going on?
Right.
Well, a PC is an option for those of you that have a PC. I think it's a clear option for those that do have PCs because PCs often have a huge hard drive in them or they're easy to add hard drives to. So at least your stuff will be backed up in case this happens. I realize this doesn't happen to everyone, but I'm surprised it happened to me at all. I thought my stuff was completely secure in the cloud. I thought there was no way anything like this could happen, but I'm just having terrible problems with Apple now. And I'm hoping I can get this fixed, but the previous support guy told me that they're going to have to delete my iCloud photo library entirely. And so my components needed to be, or my assets needed to be backed up before they could do that. And I was like, well, what if I don't have space to back up? And he's like, oh, well, we're going to have to figure that out if that becomes a problem. And he wasn't even confident they'd be able to save all of my photos and videos. So this is just turning into a huge, I'm not going to call it a nightmare yet because at least I have my stuff backed up, but it's on its way to being a nightmare.
And
it's been going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they haven't been able to fix it.
What happened? You know, why did it get corrupted? Do you know why?
They have no idea. They don't know. They just said, uh-oh, looks like it got corrupted. And I was just trying to watch a movie or a home movie on my Apple TV one day, and it just wouldn't download. And so eventually I called them because it continued happening for days and days, and they're like, uh-oh, looks like your library got corrupted. And it's been going on ever since. Anyway, so it is possible. Let's move on to, well, this last story here. Let's talk about DJI Buster.
Ooh, that.
The apple of the air.
Oh, they're so hot right now.
A.K.A. AirPole.
AirPole?
Is what I've been calling them, yeah. Because they're doing what Apple does in the technology world with drones.
They are.
They're like the apple of the air.
Yeah.
And they just dropped a hot new product on us, which I'm actually excited about, and I'm wondering if I just sell my drone to buy.
Yeah, like it looks like the best drone ever for most people. I think like if you've been waiting for a drone, this is probably it. The Mavic Air, it's tiny, but it looks like it has all the best features that you would want out of, you know, a decent small drone.
And it's got some cool features too that the other drones don't have.
Right.
It's also so portable, man. I mean, the fact that it just folds up. I saw a picture of a guy reviewing it, and he was just holding it in his hand. It was like holding a brick, like a small brick.
Yeah, it's like, I think it's as wide and as long as an iPhone Plus.
Really? Yeah. You're kidding. That's it?
I mean, it's thicker, but like that's basically the footprint, is it's like that small when it's all folded up.
There's nobody competing with DJI.
Dude, nobody.
It's well, just DJI.
They were going out of business.
Yeah, and GoPro, like, they gave up because theirs was so
bad. That's right. GoPro totally gave up.
That was the only company that I thought could make a decent drone to rival them. But I think just like Apple, DJI really understands manufacturing, and they do a great job at getting the they churn out so many new products all the time. And they're the only company that can do it. You see all the other drone makers, their drones are usually on the market for 2 years with minor updates, and they're nowhere near as well designed as DJI's, and they usually have supply
nowhere
problems.
Nowhere near as well designed.
Is the software for the DJI drones
That's
good?
What makes it the best part, is the software. Like, GoPro software really? Was shit. Like, the boomerang mode on the new one. There's so many awesome things with the Mavic Air. You can take it out and you can control it just with your hand gestures. You don't have to use the controller if you don't want to. And then there's also a lot of smart, intelligent flight modes that make getting like sexy shots super easy.
Like it follows
yeah,
you.
Yeah, the follow mode, the boomerang mode where it kind of like loops around you so it kind of like twirls and gets like a scope of the whole view.
It creates these beautiful like cinematic vistas of like the terrain that you're in. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, actually. And then it has a globe mode, so it will fly up, or they call it meteor mode. It flies up, and it creates a panoramic image, like a circular image of you standing, you like on this like global. Well, it looks like you're like standing on top of the world because it's circular. They have a lot of cool modes built in like that.
Yeah, I was gonna say, and it also has collision avoidance, right? So you can be running around and it won't smash into a tree.
Yeah, it's got front and back collision avoidance. It also has a vision system on the bottom, I think, to prevent it from hitting things if you're trying to descend too fast or something. And it has a new obstacle avoidance mode where if you're flying forward, instead of stopping, if it senses an obstacle, it will just fly around it. And cool. It's the only drone that does that. Plus, and this is one of the reasons why I wanted to talk about this. It lets you create your own Apple TV screensavers. So, you know, like those incredible Apple TV screensavers that are moving very slow over these gorgeous terrains. You could do that with the Mavic Air because it does 120 FPS, 120 frames per second in 1080p. So you couldn't do it in 4K. If you have a 4K Apple television, you know, that footage is going to look much better. Well, for a variety of reasons, probably mainly because the camera they're using is probably $50,000 or $60,000. Yeah. But you could create a version of that that looks the same as far as movement goes and impress all your friends. Yeah. And
like the thing, you know, drones are still so new and, you know, everybody has an iPhone now. So everybody's like a wannabe awesome Instagram photographer, but there's still not a lot of people have drones, so it's still, I feel like, a great time to like get into it. And yeah, like you're saying, like you get shots that nobody else does when you have a drone. So if you're into photography, I think it's a no-brainer just for that.
The cameras on these things are also very surprising. Yeah, they're really good for small cameras.
It's like the same as like an iPhone camera sensor. It's not gonna be something that you're going to hang in a friggin' museum gallery or anything, but it's going to be good enough when you see it on your phone or your computer. It's not pixelated and blown out. It looks, you know, appreciable.
And again, with the size and the compactness, the biggest thing about drones is how much of a hassle is it to get it out and fly it? And I have a Phantom 4 Pro, which is awesome, but getting it out and flying it is a chore. You have to get it out. You have to attach all the propellers. You have to insert the battery, which is huge. There's this whole routine that you have to go through. And, you know, it takes a few minutes. And with a drone like the Mavic Air, you just unfold the tiny little legs, pop out the joysticks, put them onto the controller, which, by the way, fit inside the controller. So smart. And extend the landing feet, and you're ready to go. It probably takes, I'm going to guess it takes 15 seconds max, maybe 20. So anyway, Buster and I are really into drones, and we wanted to have a little chat about this. And plus, I wanted to hear just what you think. And you are getting one, right? You think you're going to buy one?
I'm definitely getting one. It's my drone for 2018.
Oh, yeah. You're a number one purchase for 2018?
Well, I mean, I'm going to try and keep that drone for the whole year, not crash it, you know?
Oh.
Do you think you'll be able to do that? Isn't it somewhat crash-proof?
It's got front and back obstacle avoidance, so it is. And it also has this intelligent mode where you can set it on a flight path, and it automatically makes, like, smooth transitions to avoid certain obstacles. So it is supposed to be a lot harder to crash than the Mavic Pro, which I crashed a lot.
Which is now a giant heap of wires and plastic. Don't you get nervous when you fly your drone?
Oh, all the time.
I always get nervous. Like, it makes me feel anxious.
Oh, and like friends will tell me like, "Oh, you can borrow my drone if you want." I'm like, "No, dude." Like,
do you know who you're talking
I'm
to?
Like, I'm like nervous enough flying my own drone. I don't need to wreck somebody else's $1,000 flying camera.
Right. It's like if I put your MacBook Pro, if I attach a propeller to it and let you fly it around in the air, it's nerve-wracking. Because what happens if it crashes? There are stories of drones that have just fallen out of the air, and you know, because if it hiccups, if there's a bug, the drone just crashes. That's it. You know, it's not like you get to restart it. So people lose them that way, and Karma situation, the GoPro Karma situation. That's an odd saga, isn't it?
Like,
the whole thing is so bizarre.
Yeah, they went into the market and their drone fell out of the sky.
People were psyched for the drone.
Yeah,
it got mega hyped.
It was a great idea with the removable gimbal and everything. And I liked the GoPro gimbal. It's great to have. But the drone was ugly, huge, and just not appealing in any
way. Had tons of flight issues.
And
I mean, they were falling out of the sky. The cameras were not able to maintain an even horizon. I mean, the issues just went on and on. And then they retired it. Well, they recalled it and said, okay, we're going to fix all the problems. And then, 7 months later, they came out and they're like, boom, here we go. Got them all fixed out. We're going to re-release this product. And then they re-release it. And then within, 4 months, now they're like, just forget it. Let's just throw in the towel.
Yeah,
we're not doing this anymore.
Drone program and they canceled
the entire thing.
That's, yeah.
And now there's literally no other competitors to DJI. DJI.
Parrot dropped out. There was another one that dropped yesterday.
Parrot dropped that. Yeah. And nobody's made any good drones anyway, so it's not like the world's missing anything. But it would be nice to have a great competitor to DJI, like Nikon and Canon, Apple, Microsoft. Yeah. Somebody's got to step up and push them.
Somebody. It's just crazy. I mean, it's just them. What were you going to say, Leander?
I bought a discounted 3DR. Solo drone like a couple of years ago. You know, they're long gone out of the hardware business. They were one of the first ones to drop, but they raised, like, they were like a unicorn, weren't they? They were valued at like more than $1 billion.
Wow.
And were looking really, really rosy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they was like been and gone in a couple of years. That was a really nice drone too. I mean, it's really well made.
Yeah, unfortunately they just don't support it anymore. But I saw them clearing those things out at Best Buy for like $250.
Yeah, right.
They were practically giving them away.
Yeah.
Alrighty, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. I think that's all the Cultcast we have for you guys this week. But hey, you know what? If you want to come say what up, if you want to talk about any of the stories we mentioned on today's show, we're on Twitter. You can come say hi. I'm at Airfun. Leander is at L. Caney. Buster is BST3R. All right, thanks again to Pitney Bowes for supporting this episode. Remember, you can print postage from your office and take advantage of special discounts, such as saving 3 cents per letter versus the price of a stamp. Head on over to pb.com/cultcast to learn more and to sign up for a free trial. pb.com/cultcast. This has been the Cultcast, the best 30-plus-minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long, baby. New episodes of the Cultcast come out every single Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys next time. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I knew I'd get somebody with that. Let's go for a chuckle. I got it. I got what I was going for.
Bulge in my gum below the infected tooth, and so I just stabbed it with it. I got a candle and I disinfected the pin.
Uh-huh.
I think it was actually I couldn't find a pin. I used a what do you call it, a button, you know, a badge.
Like, uh-huh.
And you know, poked that into my gum and it all came and it ruptured it and it all came out.
Oh my gosh, dude, that's so gross. Did you feel better after that?
Yeah, like really quickly.
It's making me feel squeamish.
Yeah. The Caneys taking care of their own medical procedures. Yeah. This is how they do it in the UK. Because you could never actually get in to see a doctor, right? So that's right. Like, you don't need to see a doctor. Just get some rusty pliers. Pull the tooth out yourself. Here's a pamphlet. Here's what you do.
That's the kind of thing my dad used to do. Like home, he was so phobic about the doctor or the dentist, he'd do some home surgery. I came home one time, he had a toothache. He had a pair of pliers in his mouth. He was trying to yank his own rotten tooth.
Yeah. You know what? That explains so much about you. Did he get it out?
No, I think I made him go to the dentist after that, and then
was he serious? Was he actually going to try and pull his tooth out?
Yeah, he was actually trying to pull his own teeth out. Yeah, with a pair of rusty pliers.
I'd be fine, son. Get out of my way.